I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Manzoni Wildlife Estate in the Republic of Kenya in our continent of Africa. And today we continue the conversation, but the conversation must be sensitive to the realities of the globe. And as we speak in this year, 2026, there is one individual whose escapades, whose statements now amaze the world because they are in many ways unprecedented. That is the 45th and 47th president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. When history is recorded, it may very well be said that there was never a president such as that, because of the manner in which he has dealt with issues and the impact that those issues have had on the world. But with regard to Africa, the analysis must be contextualized. You know, when Trump became the 45th president of the United States of America, one would have assumed that things would be different. One would have assumed that there would be a totally different trajectory. But in fact, things are different, but different in a different way. Because for the first time, maybe we have a president of the United States of America who thinks he's an emperor, who thinks that he controlled the world and has no regard for other civilizations. He is the single individual who, in reference to the Haiti state, which is dominated by descendants of African slaves, said, with reference to Haiti and the continent of Africa, that these are all countries. Never in the history of the United States of America has anybody referred to other sovereign states in that manner. And immediately he made that statement, there was outrage throughout the world and in the continent of Africa. The African Union came out very strongly and said, these statements are racist and xenophobic. But that did not stop Donald Trump, with the consequence that during the entire period that he served as the 45th president of the United States of America, he did not visit the continent of Africa. And even those that he sent as his representatives did not really send a positive message. His view was that Africa as a continent is a backwater continent with very little significance, and if significant at all, the significance is only restricted to the minerals that she has. And this defines, therefore, the relationship which he has defined with Africa as the 47th president of the United States of America, purely transactional. Transactional in the sense that Africa is to be exploited. Africa is to be dictated to. And whenever African presidents have had the opportunity to visit the Oval Office, what has happened to them is humiliation and being talked to like high school students. He did that to the president of Liberia. He did that to the president of Kenya. And whenever he has tried, as much as he sometimes does, as he did in the case of trying to midwife the peace process between Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo, he was condescending. He was merely telling them, you little people, you must stop fighting. And you must stop fighting because I want to access your minerals. And that is how he then entered into this arrangement and pronounced that there was peace, even when there was no peace. And it is not lost on me that no sooner had the ink dried on the peace agreement than the war intensified. So his relationship is condescending. And indeed, on the fifth day of March, the year 2026, he has now imposed in sanctions on the Republic of Rwanda, military sanctions on the basis that they are continuing the war. And you've seen that trend being carried along even with South Africa. South Africa has been a target. And it amazes one that being aware of the apartheid history of South Africa, where blacks were humiliated and dominated and still are from an economic perspective, he made an unverified statement in the presence of the president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, in the Oval Office, that there was a massacre of white people and that the South African administration was discriminating against the whites, which was untrue and which upon verification was found really to be something that was manufactured by individuals who got something from the Democratic Republic of Congo and posited and posted it as if it was from South Africa. He then even tried to persuade countries that belong to the G20 not to attend the G20 summit that was held in South Africa and has issued a statement that South Africa will not be allowed to attend the next G20 session that will be held in the United States of America. That is how condescending he has been. And he did not stop there. When reference was made to a country which has a long history, perhaps a longer history than the United States of America, Lesotho, the Kingdom of Lesotho, he said, who knows Lesotho anyway? What is Lesotho anyway? That is how contemptuous he has been of the continent of Africa. And he did not stop there. In his war against the Somali nation, particularly given the fact that there is a major Somali diaspora in the state of Minnesota, he has pitted himself against the Somalis and insulted the Somalis and said that they cannot run their country, they belong to a country, and that they had better go back to their country. It has been insult upon insult, and he does not stop there. He referred to the president of Egypt, President al-Sisi, as my favorite dictator. And that can be as condescending and condescending can be. He even made the claim that the Grand Renaissance Dam in Ethiopia was financed by the United States. A white lie, a blatant lie. Everybody knows that the Grand Renaissance Dam was financed by the Ethiopian government and Ethiopians in the diaspora. But these lies appear to serve his political agenda to put Africa in a situation where it is looked at with contempt. And he has not stopped there. In the recent past, in the year 2025, he made the claim that the Boko Haram insurgency is targeted against Christians. Anybody who cares and knows the modus operandi of Boko Haram knows that its activities are indiscriminate and that in fact many more Muslims have been killed by the Boko Haram than Christians. The fact that occasionally they target Christian facilities, prayer places, and even abducted a Christian priest is not a demonstration that they are simply anti-Christian. But he says that and justified the bombing of Kaduna or the surroundings of Kaduna in the Federal Republic of Nigeria. And as at the year 2026, there is now a detachment of the American army that is positioned in the northern part of Nigeria, some say, in order to ultimately be present in the Sahelian region, because the Sahelian region has refused the entreaties of the United States of America through institutions such as the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. But interestingly, when sobriety does set in the mind of President Trump, he says, I want to liberate Africa from aid. I want to relate with Africa on the basis of trade. I'm therefore talking about the prosperity of the continent of Africa. And for that reason, the American aid, which we have been giving them in the areas of health to deal with issues such as HIV/AIDS, we are going to stop them. And stop them he did, with the consequence that many people who are being supported through those initiatives have been left jobless, with the consequence that many people have been exposed in a manner that was not unprecedented. And he did not stop there. He even said that initiatives such as the Africa Growth Opportunity, AGOA, which had been initiated on the basis of having a relationship with the United States, ought to be done away with. Of course, upon some guidance, he did pedal back, and AGOA is now being re-energized, but on the basis of quid pro quos. What are the quid pro quos? Number one, that you support us. It is in that context that he did not revise the decision that had been made by the Biden administration to make a country like Kenya an American ally, a non-NATO ally, a non-member NATO ally. Kenya became that, and the administration likes that. It is not lost on me that there are a number of American military bases in the continent of Africa. So the mantra is still domination. And it is also not lost on me that there have been attempts to enter into the health space. And what have they said? We want to engage in contracts in your health sector. It's been done with Kenya. Nothing has happened in that regard, but we want your people's data. It has now been rejected by the government of Zimbabwe, rejected by the government of Zambia, and it is soothing that in Botswana, the Botswana administration has said, we only discuss Botswana things in Botswana, not in the United States of America. We have also noted that there is a pushback from the Sahelian nations of Burkina Faso, of Niger and Mali. But what one sees in countries such as the Democratic Republic of Congo is that they are being coerced into entering into negotiations with the United States of America for their minerals. So when one looks at the Trump administration and the manner in which it has related and continues to relate to the continent of Africa, it is a relationship like that between the rider and the horse. The rider will dominate and wants to dominate and control the horse. So Africans are being told by the Trump administration, you are countries, you don't matter in the scheme of things. You are inferior individuals and you've got to do the bidding of the United States of America. We are going to get your minerals whether you like it or not. We are going to do what we think is right because there is nothing that you can do. We are military power and we are going to dominate you. And when I listened to Mark Rubio during the Munich conference, when he said that the Western world has to protect herself, he was simply saying, we want to recolonize every part of the world, and Africa is in that equation. So that in the Trump administration, Africa faces an existential threat. And the threat is, we want to come there and we are going to dominate you militarily. We are going to dominate you economically. We are going to determine how your economies are run. We are going to ensure that you continue to use the dollar. We are going to ensure that you follow what the United States of America tells you. We are going to be your new neo-colonizers, and you've got to follow the United States of America willy-nilly. That is what can be described as the Trump doctrine. And that doctrine is one that is defined by dominance, is one that is defined by xenophobia, it is one that is defined by racism, it is one that is defined and defined by contempt for the peoples of Africa. It is an unfortunate doctrine and is a doctrine which Africa must have a pushback for. Otherwise, we'll not just have neo-colonialism, but we'll have classical colonialism alive and well. This time, the Americans under Trump will be the dominant power, and we will once again be enslaved. That is Trump for Africa. Unfortunate, painful, sad. It is not gilded in any way. It is raw. It is contemptuous. It is painful. Thank you very much. As we continue these conversations about the continent of Africa, today we have looked at the Trump Doctrine and its impact on the continent of Africa. We'll see you again as we continue the conversation.